This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Watley on KLZ 560.
Welcome to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for joining us today. My name is Scott Watley, and we appreciate you being with us. As I mentioned a couple of shows back, we have kind of retweaked our senior referral list, and now we have referralsforseniors.com. And once again, we are not trying to make this a directory of a lot of different providers. We are looking just for those right connections and folks that can really help you as a family member and caregiver and as maybe the senior yourself. But you can just go to referralsforseniors.com. And we are not trying to make it a directory, just trying to find the right people for the right need. And, of course, most of you know Kurt Rogers on our show, Affordable Interest Mortgage. They handle all of our mortgages and reverse mortgages and even things like plumbing. We have Lakewood Plumbing and Heating. And so we just want to find companies you can trust. And really, I can think of no other category that's really more important than the one we're going to discuss today. And our guest is no stranger to our show. She has been with us before, Kelly O'Connor with Senior Care Authority. And first of all, Kelly, welcome.
Thank you so much, Scott. Thanks. So glad to
Great
be here.
Great to see you again. And glad to have you on our referral program. And, you know, again, this area of placement, because so many times things happen quickly and in our lives as caregivers, then all of a sudden we're scrambling trying to figure out who to call, what to do, you know, how to help our loved one. And there's a lot of different areas to go, you know, if they need medical care, if they don't need medical care, do they just need a place to stay, you know, do they need, you know, 24-hour supervision, and a lot of things out there. But let's start off with just Senior Care Authority. Give us a little background on that, how you got into it, and what you do.
Well, Senior Care Authority, I started the company about 3.5 years ago, and it's been so wonderful. We do two things. We do elder care consulting, so helping families understand where do we go, what do we do, who do we trust, when's the right timing, what do we need in place. And then we also do senior living placement services, which is helping people find the right assisted living, memory care community, senior living environment when it's time to move.
Right. And, you know, it seems like so many times in a lot of families I know, there are two or three siblings. One lives here. The others live out of state. And the ones out of state seem to want to run everything when they're not here. So that presents its own problems. That's probably another whole show. But so talk about kind of your process and who you can help.
So I really work with the family caregiver and the elder themselves. Those are really the two people that I focus in on. Right. Who is the person that's receiving the care and receiving the support in a lot of cases, not necessarily care, but then who is their personal representative? Who is their power of attorney? Who is the main person that's going to be involved in their life? Right. And all of the other people that are involved in the process are really important too. And so we want to make sure that we get everyone's opinion because people have a lot of opinions about things.
Sure.
And we want to make sure that everyone's included in the process so together we can have a really strong plan in place for if and when a crisis happens. A lot of times I'm being called into the middle of a crisis. And when someone's in rehab, this is what most people don't know. When someone's in rehab, Medicare and guidelines say that the rehab only needs to give you a 72-hour notice. So a lot of our families, they find out that they can't go home safely, and Medicare is going to cut off the coverage in 72 hours. And we have to jump in really quick, scramble to handle all of that, find a place to live, coordinate all the paperwork, coordinate the logistics of the move, and make that all happen in a short period of time. That's why I always encourage people, let's get to know each other ahead of time.
Sure.
So in the middle of crisis, we just put a plan into place that we've already talked through.
I was talking with one of our financial planners that day, and I said, have you ever heard the statement, I wish we hadn't pre-planned so much? No. I mean, most everybody, like I say, something happens, you're reacting, and you really don't even know who to call or where to find help.
And that's what I really love, is supporting the family and saving them so much time and headache and stress. Because healthcare is a wonderful system. We won't get into that piece of it, but we have a healthcare system. But it is so difficult to understand the language of healthcare, especially for a layperson, and to understand what needs to happen when. And then when you put senior care on top of healthcare, that's a whole different industry. So getting them to talk to each other, getting the families to understand what is going through, what options that they have, and having someone like myself that'll sit down and actually explain it to you in layperson terms and communicate with all the different systems, it saves people so much headache, heartache, time, and just being able to make some really tough decisions in a quick period of time.
Right. So really, there's probably several different scenarios. You get your phone rings, and that's some, maybe it's, they know it's time for them to get out of their house, they can't live there safely. And then also, like I say, maybe they had a fall, they're in a rehab thing, now they can't go back home. So there's several, what other, is that about the main two scenarios you
Those are the
into?
Two scenarios. You know, I've sort of specialized my practice in helping families in crisis and really complex families. I'd love to work with families that everyone gets along.
Sure.
Everyone has a plan in place.
So both of those families you've worked with like that have been nice, right?
But I love being able to support any family through the process. Some are easier than others, and I don't mind difficult, because I really hold that the family, through this process, that they'll actually be able to come together. And that I often see families heal that have been, on sort of opposite sides and fighting over things. I've really seen families come together in remarkable ways. And then there's other families that it's really tough. I have two families right now that there's drug addiction in the family, and there's all sorts of chaos because of that element. And so I can come in and really forcefully support the power of attorney and protect the elder. I love being able to do that too.
Right. Kelly O'Connor is our guest. She is with Senior Care Authority. Her number is 720-500-2550. And if you've got questions, she will be glad to help you. And I want to make sure I got the right website right. I had for my notes, seniorcare-denvermetro.com. All right, so good. And so you can check out that website. She has a lot of great information there that we're going to discuss today. But just a lot of good information, as Kelly just said. It's never too early to start that conversation and get to meet her. So when you go into most deals, are most of them fairly smooth from family agreeing on what to do? Or is it kind of a 50-50 deal sometimes?
It really depends on how open the family has been in communication earlier. Because during a crisis, you know, I get nervous and scared when I have a crisis in my personal life.
Sure.
And so when you have everyone that's nervous and scared at the same time, and we're often having to look at, you know, really difficult diagnoses, you know, all of a sudden, you know, someone gets a dementia diagnosis or a cancer diagnosis. You add that element on top of it, it can be really, really complex. I have a master's degree in spiritual psychology, so I have a way of really working with the clients and calming the situation and really helping people see the elements that they need to focus on first. And I'm able, just with the experience, I'm able to break it down and really help families have priorities and say, okay, right now for the next hour, here's what you need to do.
Sure.
And then we'll deal with the rest of that in the next hour. And that really has helped my clients really support them through that process.
Right. And then I'm sure sometimes someone is, they have certain needs for that first move. And you never know, in 6 months, 3 months, a year, those needs change. So then they need to go somewhere else. And they've already got that connection with you. It's just, the process is so much easier because it's already stressful on the family, like we just talked about.
Yeah, it's so stressful because most of the caregivers, they already have a busy life. And then you put a crisis on top of an already busy life, and then everything blows up.
Right.
And so then what do we do? How do we sort through it? And the earlier that I meet the family, the better that we can walk through that process. I get a lot of calls, mom's in the hospital, she fell and broke her hip, what do we do? And meeting someone after you've fallen and broken your hip and you're in the hospital in rehab, you know, you're not on your game, if you will.
Right.
And so the earlier that I can meet with someone, then I do a friendly visit in the hospital and rehab. rehab. They already know who I am, and I can gently hold their hand, walk through the process, and we've already set the stage for what decisions need to be made.
Right. And then something we can talk about for here in the rest of this segment is your tours and kind of how all that goes about. Because, I mean, first of all, it seems like these places are everywhere now. I mean, there's millions. And all of them look, I mean, they're not like the nursing homes that I grew up with when I, you know, you'd go see someone that was sick or something. I mean, these places are pretty nice, which also means expensive. But just because the outside's pretty and the landscaping and the foyer, they're not all created equal either.
Correct. And there are some beautiful places that they're building right now. And then we have more older communities, more traditional nursing home communities in Denver. And so that's another thing. Like, I have one gal who she can afford the most expensive place, but her personality, she's a little more down home. She doesn't need all the bells and whistles. She wouldn't be comfortable in that. She wants to wear blue jeans. She doesn't want to get dressed up for dinner. Sure. She wants to wear her blue jeans. So she's much more comfortable in a more modest place. So those are the kind of things that we talk about. When we are recommending different communities, again, we don't make decisions. Mm-hmm. We just do recommendations, and we tour with the families. There's a couple things that we look at. One, who are the key leadership team? Not the salesperson, but really who's running the organization.
Right.
Who's the executive director? Who's the director of nursing? Another key person is the life enrichment director, because that's the person who coordinates, designs the whole activities and social programming.
Right.
And so what is that person like?
Sure.
That's the person you spend a lot of time with. And who is hiring the caregivers that are going to be responsible for your care? We do that. The other thing that we do is we look through all of the state reports. The website, it's so difficult to find, and it's hard to look through all of these surveys and reports. There was an article 2 weeks ago in the Denver Post that there's four nursing homes in Denver that or in Colorado that had been written up. We knew about that way ahead of time, before it hit the news, before anything. That's why having someone that's in and out of these communities on a daily basis on your side to share this information with you before you waste your time and go to visit them. Mm-hmm. You know, have someone that understands the way the communities work, how they're actually doing in practical
sure.
ways. Having that foresight before you go into the community, it's invaluable.
Because you look at the expense, the time for maybe a family member or caregiver that may live here, may not live here. I mean, I live here. I wouldn't even know where to begin to go for different types of things. And so when you look at that, and then you have a person like yourself that can really hold your hand, so to speak, and walk through and guide you through all of that. And because a lot of these places have waiting list and different things like that, and you know all of that.
They do.
So, I mean, I may go to 15 places, and I've wasted all that time and couldn't get into any of them anyway.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of them, when folks are spending down to Medicaid or the NFH program, that's a really key time. Moving earlier than later is best in those situations, and people think the opposite, because there's a beautiful place here in town that has a five-year wait list. To be able to spend down to the NFH program or to be on the HUD program for senior living. So again, even though they advertise in a guide that they take Medicaid or take NFH, it does not mean that they actually can take it at that current time.
Sure, sure. Well, great information. All right, we're looking forward to carrying this conversation on further. 720-500-2550. SeniorCare-DenverMetro.com. You can also find Kelly on our referral list at referralsforseniors.com. You're listening to Haystack Help Radio. We'll be right back.
Take AIM. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the Asset Manager all-in-one loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loans to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
The tingling and numbness in your feet started a long time ago, and it's only gotten worse. It's finally getting to the point where you can't sleep at night. It's starting to affect your balance, and although your doctor prescribed medication, you worry about the side effects. Dr. Dean Anderson, chiropractor with Front Range Medical Center, offers an advanced treatment for peripheral neuropathy that can greatly reduce your nerve pain. Regain feeling and mobility without taking prescription medications. At Front Range Medical Center, Dr. Anderson and his team treat the source of the nerve pain using one of the most advanced forms of electronic medicine to help their patients experience long-term success. You know the problem won't go away on its own. Call Dr. Dean Anderson today and mention Haystack Help Radio to receive a $27 consultation, including a neuropathy-specific exam and a review of your health history. Find out whether or not you could be a candidate for this advanced treatment. Call 720-851-9694, 720-851-9694. You have nothing to lose but pain.
Stack Optical has been providing the most comprehensive quality eye and vision care for over 50 years. Stack Optical is a family-owned business, and they're proud to be one of the few optical offices that have their own on-site eyeglass production and eyeglass repair studio. Your one-stop shop for all of your vision needs, eye exams, glasses, and contacts. And don't forget about the Stack Sports Pack. Let owner and certified optician Alan Stack customize a pair of specialized glasses that will make your next outing on the golf course or on the gun range better than ever before. Call today for your $69 eye exam, 303-321-1578. That's 303-321-1578. Or check them out at stackoptical.com.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. Glad to have Kelly O'Connor with us. Kelly is with Senior Care Authority. Her number, 720-500-2550, seniorcare-denvermetro.com. And you can also find Kelly on our referral list at referralsforseniors.com. So, Kelly, in previous segments and shows, we've talked about your role a little bit. And I want to talk a little bit now about how we as family members can maybe recognize that time when it is time to make a move, if we have the luxury of doing that, and they haven't already, you know, fallen or something, which, I mean, I want to say if you get nothing out of this show, get the falls are, I don't want to say a killer, but they are. I mean, when people fall in their home, I mean, I'm telling you, break a hip, the road usually is down from
it,
there.
Life usually changes from that point on, yes.
Yeah, for sure. So, but just, you know, as maybe people are going to be around their loved ones this summer and all and haven't seen them in a while, what are just some of the signs that we should look for as family members and caregivers if we haven't been around them in a while?
I think the most important thing is really to pay attention to their person. How do they look? A lot of people, you'll start to see their clothing change, their personal hygiene change, their personal care. Like a lot of people, you'll see them that, you know, they used to get dressed up every day, you know, especially the gals, and do their hair and sure. make sure they had on lipstick. And you see them being in more of a house dress or a, you know, their robe most of the day. You start to see little changes like that. The other thing is in their physical environment. Are bills starting to pack up? Is it not as clean as it used to be? How do the dishes look? What do they have in their refrigerator? Little simple things like that. People, you know, they say, oh, mom was a little messy or she wasn't as well kept. But those are really important signs to pay attention to, because the effort to do those things or the will to do those things has subsided a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so that's really a point to look at isolation and to start to bring in some home care and a little bit of help.
Right. And so many times we hear people saying, you know, when they get into conversations, the parents, we'll just use them as an example, will say, you know, I don't want to move, all my friends are here. But they really hadn't really thought about, if they really are their friends and their age, they probably haven't walked down the sidewalk either to visit with them, and they probably haven't seen them in a long time, but it's just in their mind they're there. But then most cases, and I mean most cases, people will say, I wish I would have done this earlier too.
They do. Everyone wishes that they would have started earlier in the process. I have a family I'm working with right now, and the neighbors have been helping in so much. The neighbors have been bringing food, taking the elder to and from doctor's appointments, making sure that they have all the supplies in the house, helping coordinate lawn care and so forth. So the neighbors essentially are providing care to the elder. And in this particular case, they have waited too long in the process, and this gal, her care in assisted living now is going to cost so much more. She doesn't have as many options because of what mm-hmm. she needs, whereas if she just would have moved 2 years earlier, it would have been so much more helpful sure. for her in a lot of different ways. And the neighbors could have been visiting as neighbors rather than as caregivers. And so it's really... sooner is always better, and people are always relieved. They may not like the assisted living. You know, they'd rather be in their own home, but there's so many benefits and so much more care and TLC sure. and support that you get in a community setting.
Right. Now, previously you mentioned about the financial end of it, and you have a lady that, you know, could afford anything, whatever. But so there is a financial end sometimes to getting into some of these places. I mean, if somebody has a lot of assets. So do you have partners and things that you refer to help people, advise them on that financial part?
I have amazing financial planners that I work with that can come in and begin working with a client, or we strategize with their existing financial planner. We also have Medicaid consultants that will be able to come in and advise people. There's a lot of folks that will seek the support of an attorney to protect some of their assets because they have specific goals on how they would like those assets to be passed down mm-hmm. through the generations. So we have a group of amazing people that are here to support clients.
Right. And a lot of times I think they look back, you know, a couple of years, I've heard, and I don't know this for sure, but I think they look back in some of the financial things. So again, starting this process earlier to where your financial status meets some of the criteria could be important too.
It is, and the Medicaid look back period is 5 years. So what a lot of people think is, oh, I'll just sign my home over to my kids, and you know, I'll give away all this money to the grandkids. And Medicaid, you know, is there to support people that don't have resources and aren't able to you know, to support themselves anymore. It's a wonderful program, but it's designed for a specific intent. If you have goals in your financial plan to use that program, you really do need to be talking about this early.
Right. And one thing I want to mention too, your services cost me, the client, nothing.
Yes, if someone is moving to assisted living, okay. the care communities will actually cover my fees,
okay.
which is wonderful. And for anyone who, you know, Scott is, you know, one of your listeners, sure. I will do a home visit for anyone, complimentary.
Okay.
So that's
Thank
something
you.
For all of your listeners. I want to make sure that they have access to this kind mm-hmm. of information. There are families that will hire me privately. If the goal is to
sure.
stay at home, they will hire me privately to put together
right,
a care
right.
plan, find the right resources. But when it comes time to move to assisted living or to start picking out that place, mm-hmm. if they call me first, I'll book the appointment for them at the care community, or I'll help them select the ones that they should go visit. And we do all of that together. And I actually go with them because I want to make sure that they get all of their questions answered by the care community.
Sure.
And I want to make sure that they're really comparing apples with apples, that they really have all the exact information from each place so that they can make an empowered decision.
Right. Once again, Kelly's number, 720-500-2550, 720-500-2550, and her website is seniorcare-denvermetro.com. So let's a couple of minutes left. Let's talk about that initial phone call and what that looks like and some of the key questions that you asked just in that initial intake.
So initial intake, if it's, let's say it's not a crisis, it's someone who's calling just to find out a little bit about putting together a care plan. I want to know who the individual is. Mm-hmm. How old are they? What is their situation? Are they living at home? Do they have help? Is it professional help? Is it family caregivers? What are their goals? What would they like for their life? What do they envision for their future? We talk about those things so that I know really what direction to go. As I mentioned, for anyone who's part of the Referral for Seniors program or for Haystack Radio, I'll come and do a home visit for free. So we'll just visit, just really casual. Let's visit. Let's talk about some things that we may haven't talked about before with the family. I want to make sure that the powers of attorney are there. If there's not a power and attorney in place, let's talk about who that person should be.
Right.
What is their availability and their willingness to serve in that capacity? And so let's just get together. I do it on a casual basis. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I have to ask tough questions, but but we do it in a real friendly and real supportive way.
And, you know, what we have to realize as kids is we're always our kids. I mean, we're always the kid to the parent, you know? And the last thing most parents want is a kid telling them what to do, you know? So a lot of times just bringing in a third party like you, and not just a third party, but someone with your experience and knowing how to do these conversations are priceless, as we say.
It is. Yeah. And I have a dear friend in the business, and he always says, if you have kids, be nice to them.
Yeah, no kidding. You never know when they're going to be in charge. Yeah, yeah. Where you're going to live.
Right. Don't upset them. You're going to need them to take care of you.
Right.
And really being able to have open and honest conversations so that your powers of attorney, so that your children know what you actually want for life. Mm-hmm. And then to be able to have the conversation, what if staying at home isn't safe? What if I'm having to spend 10 to 20 to 30 hours a week going to doctor's appointments with you, making sure your home is maintained? At what point would you want me to encourage you to move to assisted living?
Sure.
When is that critical piece? And for every family, it's different. Mm-hmm. There are some people that have all the time in the world that they will dedicate to their family, to staying at home safely. And there's other families that are really busy and complex where they can't provide the care that the elder deserves. And every family is different. So that's what I really want to do, is find out what their values are, what their ideas are, what their plan is, and support them in making that happen the best way possible.
Sure. Once again, it's a free consultation. Give Kelly a call. Let her know you heard her here on Haystack Help Radio, 720-500-2550, 720-500-2550. And real quick, I'm sure, we have a lot of church organizations that visit with us, and a lot of them have, you know, their areas of seniors. So if someone even wants you to come maybe and kind of meet with a group to just educate them on what's going on, so maybe we could work that out with you as well.
Oh, I would love that. So I love to be able to come and just give an overview and then be able to answer those one-on-one questions.
Sure.
And I have some great people that we could even bring along. Kurt Rogers is another one of those to talk about reverse mortgages. Is that even possible for the family? And some attorneys. We can really put together a great team to come and support any of those organizations if possible. Because again, information, power, is power.
Absolutely.
It really is.
Well, Kelly, thank you. It's been a pleasure having you on.
Yeah, thank you.
720-500-2550, seniorcare-denvermetro.com. And you can also find Kelly on referralsforseniors.com. You're listening to Haystack Help Radio. We'll be right back.
You will regret not calling the police after your accident. Take it from Kevin Flesh with Flesh and Beck Law.
It's one of those situations where you want to make sure that you're covering your own self. And we talk about harvesting the evidence yourself, getting pictures, getting recordings of things, and doing all of that. And that's important because sometimes the police get it wrong, but the majority of the time they get it right. And they're going to be trained to ask the right questions. Our public servants are there for that sort of thing, whether it's a small accident or a big accident. They're trained to get this information so that we can rely on it later.
Always call the police after an accident. Then call Kevin Flesh with Flesh and Beck Law for a free, no obligation consultation. 303-806-8886. That's 303-806-8886. Flesh and Beck Law. They get results.
David R. Cishon, certified estate planner and registered financial consultant, specializes in working with people who are planning for retirement and retired clients who want to preserve and grow their assets.
Education is the greatest equalizer is my theme. It's always been. More people know, the better their decisions are, and the more comfortable they become. So when people come in, we take, some people say, an excessive amount of time learning about the client themselves, who they are, what are their feelings. I don't care how much assets they have. If their assets are important to them, that's critical to me.
Call now for your free consultation with David Cishon of Householder Group, 720-482-1917. That's 720-482-1917. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Householder Group Estate and Retirement Specialist, LLC, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Denver's Afternoon Rush. Rush to Reason is coming up at 3. Now, back to Haystack Help Radio.
Welcome to Your Health Matters, sponsored by Integrated Health Systems. Traditional medicine has left you frustrated. You've seen doctor after doctor searching for answers, only to feel more confused than ever. Chiropractic neurologist Dr. Shane Stedman, along with his team at Integrated Health Systems, does the detective work you need to identify causes, not just treat your symptoms. Using a team approach to combine functional medicine with neurology, Integrated Health Systems spends the necessary time with each client to find out what's really going on. Thanks to Dr. Stedman and his team, many clients who struggle with debilitating health issues have finally found relief. Now, Haystack Help Radio proudly presents Your Health Matters.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Your Health Matters with Dr. Shane Stebbin. I'm your host, Dan Muir, filling in for Scott Watley. Doc, how you doing?
And how are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing fine, except I'm a little tired. I'm just kind of like exhausted. Long weekend. Sundays and Mondays are my busiest days because my other job is I'm an Uber and Lyft driver. And those 2 days, I've worked it out to where they're my busiest days. And yeah. I'll tell you what, I don't know what it is. I really want to talk to you about sleep deprivation today, but I don't know what it is about being behind the wheel of a car. Oh, my gosh. Sometimes it'll just knock you out. I mean, you're doing everything you can to try to stay awake, listen to the radio, eating too much, trying to have conversation, you know, whatever it takes. But I don't know why a car or motion like that will just kind of, you know, rock you to sleep.
Well, I mean, you get that kind of, I want to say monotonous, for lack of better terms, but there's almost kind of like a constant, kind of very continuous, you know, rhythm, I guess, with the car and the motor and, you know, the lines and everything is kind of like this very continuous rhythm of movement. So that could be one thing, but there's also a lot of, you know, fatigue. I mean, I think it's funny to listen to patients talk about driving and sleeping or falling asleep when they're driving. But when we see patients that have brain injuries or some kind of head injury, that's usually one of the biggest things they talk about is driving and how incredibly fatiguing it is. And I think most of us that are just driving around don't realize all the pieces of our brain that we have to use in order to drive, you know, from coordination to perception and vision and equilibrium. And there's a lot of commotion that it's reflexive on your eyes. So there's a lot of commotion with cars passing, you know, the light in between the picket fences, the trees, you know, the striped lines in the middle. You know, there's a lot that your brain has to do just to maintain that driving. So if you're already kind of sleep deprived and then you go to drive and it just fatigues your brain, it doesn't take much to make your brain go to sleep.
You know, I never really thought of it like that, but I think you're absolutely right. You know, like today, and, you know, we had kind of inclement weather here this morning. And, you know, I drove probably 250 miles this morning, back and forth. You know, first the weather was kind of sketchy, then it got really bad, and then things started to clear up. You know, all sorts of different traffic issues. And you're right, your brain is processing a lot. And your body's doing a lot of movements, you know, controlling the vehicle, braking, accelerating, steering, all that kind of stuff that you're really consciously not thinking about as much as maybe the body's moving things around subconsciously, right?
Oh, absolutely. And that's why it's fascinating to listen to people who've had brain injuries. You know, they're like, I can't do this. I can't, you know, there's a car that passes me and I fall apart or makes me really dizzy or they lose a perception between one car to the other car or, I mean, it is crazy. It's crazy all the stuff your brain does, and it's kind of a fun tangent. But, you know, one of the things that I find really fascinating about driving is your brain actually has, like, a perception of yourself. So you know where you're at in space. So when you're walking down a hallway, you know that there's a wall to the left and a wall to the right and, you know, and to not bump into it. And you kind of have a pretty good idea of where that sits. And it's really funny when you drive, and since you do Uber, you would definitely know this, is that your brain actually takes on the car as your perception. So whenever you're in something, your brain actually remaps that. And you know this because we've all done it, where you go underneath a bridge and you duck.
That's true. Never
and
thought
it's because
of
that. Yeah, so your brain actually takes on the perception of the car. So it expands the map of yourself to include the car. So you'll do certain things, like you'll lean a certain way, you'll duck. You know, it's really fascinating what the brain can do. So, I mean, that just tells you how intricately involved your brain is with just simple driving.
That is really amazing. And I'd never thought, you know, and I'm also a pilot, so that has to go true with any vehicle, I suppose, you're either driving or piloting or maneuvering.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. So even piloting, I mean, your brain's got to try to maintain a horizon, you know? I mean, yeah. You've got the gauges in the airplane, which is super awesome. What's actually kind of cool is those same gauges, since you're a pilot, those same gauges where it looks at yaw, pitch, and roll. And for people that don't know what that is, it's, you know, where the plane will bank or the nose goes up or down or left or right. And so in neurology, we utilize the same terminology that they do in aeronautics. So when you look at people's head and you look at their equilibrium system, you actually use the terms yaw, pitch, and roll when it comes to rehabilitation. So people's heads could be in too much, you know, pitch, like pitch down or pitch up, and that could be an equilibrium issue. So all your semicircular canals in your brain are very much like the instruments in the airplane.
Doc, do you got a little bit of flying time? It sounds like you do.
No, it's just all the stuff I've learned from neurology.
Oh, wow, that's you're spot on. I really thought you were going to tell me, yeah, I've got a few hundred hours, man. Yeah, so you've got that.
No.
You've got that figured out. And so you're absolutely spot on that. Now let's go back. Because there's another thing I want to hit on here as well about sleep deprivation. But let's start at the beginning. And we're talking with Dr. Shane Stebman, and he's with Integrated Health Health Systems. And you can find him by going to integratedhealthdenver.com. And, Doc, why is sleep so important? And what do you do to yourself when you don't get enough of it?
Oh, man, sleep is... It might be one of the most important things that you can do. And during that sleep time, your brain is healing. There is so much, you know, we talked about driving, but I mean, driving is just a fraction of what we do during the day. And so your brain has to kind of process all that information. It has to do some healing, some regeneration. And it does that all in your sleep. So when you go through those REM cycles, you're kind of going through like cycles of healing. You know, it's almost like just wash cycles, you know, put a load in and you turn the washing machine on and your body, you know, your brain and your dryer or your washing machine, sorry, cleans that up. And that's kind of what your brain does. It goes through these cycles of healing and those are your REM cycles. And they're about an hour and a half, you know, give or take. But that's the importance of it. So if people aren't getting into REM sleep or if people are not getting to sleep, or if they only had like one cycle of cleaning, you know, they wake up and they're just not, they don't feel great. They feel foggy, fuzzy. They can't concentrate. And what kind of ends up happening is you're essentially just kind of compiling one, I guess, stressful day or one complex day on top of each other. And then you just get to the point where your brain's like, I can't do this anymore. Like you're not functioning. I'm not functioning, you know, and there's a lot of things that can come as a result of that.
And eventually you will just shut down. I mean, you go too long without sleep or the right amount of sleep and you are just going to shut down, aren't you?
Oh, absolutely. There are actually a list of health conditions that are due to a lack of sleep. I was lecturing in Atlanta this weekend and actually one of the topics that I was lecturing on was circadian rhythms. You know, so you have a circadian rhythm of a sleep-wake cycle, and there's actually health conditions everywhere from depression, chronic fatigue syndrome, there's cardiovascular issues, but there are actually known conditions that are due to sleep. And there's even a condition called like night shift worker syndrome or something like that.
Okay.
It's actually a condition of people that work night shifts, and so they're flip-flopping their days and they're not really getting these good circadian rhythms of sleep and they're disrupted. And there's actually a whole condition. And I think there's actually medications for that too. So it tells you like sleep is incredibly important.
So doctor, does that mean when you're saying that, you know, the night shift worker, whatever you call that syndrome thing, is that why that we need, at least most people do, they got to sleep in the dark. It's got to be quiet. So you can completely shut down. Is it more difficult to sleep, let's say, in the light and with things going on around you?
Yeah, absolutely. Because the light it shines into your brain, you know, or through your eyes, but you get pineal, they call it a pineal or pineal gland. You know, you actually get activation of these systems. So light, especially like blue light, but light in general, it turns on a system called a reticular activating system. And what that means is just it activates your whole system and kind of turns it on. And then at night, then you get the darkness, which then activates that pineal gland to produce melatonin. You know, so if you're sitting there trying to sleep during the day, but you can't produce melatonin, you know, then it makes it really hard to go to sleep. And this is kind of where we get into even conversations with patients about sleep habits. Because if you're sitting there watching TV before you go to bed, well, you're increasing blue light into your brain, so it's really hard to produce melatonin. And you're actually activating your system when your body's trying to unwind. Same with like Kindles and iPhones and, you know, just anything that has to do with screen or light turns on your brain and turns on your body, but is super fatigued. So it's wanting to go to bed, and you're basically saying like, no, stay awake. And then you're like, I wonder why I don't sleep very well.
Okay, so before we get into the symptoms and the things that can happen to you with lack of sleep, my wife and I were texting back and forth about this subject here just before the show. And here's what she sent me. She sent me this. I was in bed for 12 hours, and I only got 7 hours and 10 minutes of sleep. I woke up 2 or 3 times and was awake several hours each time. And it says, frustrating. And she wanted us to talk about today. What makes that happen? How come that happens to people?
Ooh, great question. Okay, so here's your answers. And this is really good for everybody. So I'm going to answer that question, but I'm going to kind of give some education behind it.
Okay.
So there's a couple things there's kind of almost like two categories of people. So you have those that cannot go to sleep, you know, so they kind of lie awake and they just sit in bed thinking and doing whatever until they fall asleep, you know, which is usually like 11, 12, 1, sometimes 2. Those people and that group of patients tend to have a lot of like too much blood sugar, or they have too much cortisol, which is your stress. You tend to see that category consist of people who have blood sugar issues like diabetes traditionally, or high stress. So I say traditionally because there's always exceptions and outliers, but traditionally you tend to see like high blood sugar or high carb diets or high stress keep people from going to sleep.
Okay.
Your other category, which kind of sounds like what your wife is in, okay, is the other category tend to be people who might have too low of blood sugar. So if your blood sugar is low or your cortisol levels tend to be low, what happens is you can go to sleep pretty easily, but you're unable to stay asleep throughout the night. So what happens is that as your blood sugar declines, because you're not eating while you're sleeping, so as your blood sugar goes down, you should actually have an adrenaline response that's very subtle, but enough to keep pulling some of these blood sugar storages out of the liver. So your liver has this really cool storage of sugar for like just in case, you know, like in case of an emergency, break glass.
Okay.
So during the middle of the night, your adrenals are like, hey, I got you covered. Like, you sleep like a baby. I got you. But if your blood sugar is too low or your adrenaline system is too low, it doesn't got you. You know, and that's not grammatically correct, but you got it. It does not have you. So then what happens is then your brain says, hey, what's going on down there? I am trying to heal. I'm trying to take all these short-term memories and trying to convert them to long-term for you so that you remember all the past events. I'm trying to mop up all the damage that you did to me all day long, and I don't have any fuel. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to create a stress response, and I'm going to wake you up. And when I wake you up, then you're going to have some sugar, and you'll help me out. So you'll see people that go to sleep for maybe like an hour or two, and then boom, they wake up. And they wake up, and a lot of times they can wake up in like hot sweats. They can wake up anxious. They can wake up with their mind racing. And then what happens is now you've created a stress response. And so now you have to wait for that stress response to settle back down. For some people, it may be 30 minutes. For other people, it could be 2 hours. So you have to wait for that stress response to settle back down so your brain can go back to sleep. But if the system never gets fixed, then your brain breaks glass again, sounds the alarm, and you wake back up. And then you have another stress response that you have to wait for it to calm down so you can go back to sleep. And people can have two or three of these. And it's just like your wife says, like, I slept for 12 hours, only got 7 hours of sleep, and I'm exhausted when I wake up.
That's fascinating. So once again, what can you do to prevent that from happening?
So one of the things that we tell patients, and this is something that everybody listening can do, is you can see if this is a blood sugar issue, then you can eat something before bed. You know, and you know, everybody says, like, don't eat 2 hours before bed. It's not good for you. Okay, that's good. But in these cases, try it. And so a lot of times I'll tell people, you know, take an apple and throw some, like, peanut butter on it. You know, just apple and the peanut butter.
Okay.
And eat that before bed, because the apple will give you some sugar, but it's not, like, going to spike you because it has some fiber. The peanut butter has fat and protein, which will help stabilize that blood sugar, like we've talked about in the past on the show.
Okay.
And so now you go to bed and you get this nice rise and fall over the next couple hours. So now you're not, like, going to bed with a deficit. You're going to bed with a surplus, but it's not enough to keep you up. And then you see, if you sleep through the night and you had one of the best sleeps that you ever had, well, you know, it's a blood sugar issue.
Interesting. So now, Doc, I noticed you didn't say a box of or a dozen Krispy Kreme donuts.
Yeah, that will just totally trash you, because then you're getting sugar spikes all night long. It's the same thing with alcohol. You know, when people drink alcohol, you know, they're up and down all night long because their blood sugar is just all over the place. And I mean, so you hear people, I mean, you know, we laugh with friends and say, like, you know, day drinking is the best, you know, because I don't want it to affect my sleep. And I even saw there was a commercial when I was on the airplane, and it was some movie or show, and they're like, day drinking is the best. And I'm like, it is, because you're not messing with your blood sugar right before you go to bed.
So, okay, so like in aviation, we've got, you know, 8 hours from bottle to throttle. So how much time before you go to bed? So if you have a drink, you know, 2 hours, an hour before you go to bed, how does that work?
Oof, I think it's very, very individual. That one's hard to say because, you know, because also you hear people going, like, well, I can have one glass of wine and I can sleep great. I have two glasses of wine and I'm up all night, you know? So there's a lot of individuality with, you know, stress, because stress plays a role too. Stress and blood sugar and all these pieces play a pretty big role in your sleep.
Okay. And that voice you hear is Dr. Shane Stebman, and he is the owner of Integrated Health Systems. You can find out more about them by going to integratedhealthdenver.com, or you can always give him a call at 303-781-5617. Okay, Doc, so what are some of the things that we're, I don't know, I guess, messing with when we don't get enough sleep?
When you're not getting enough sleep, you know, we talked about brain. So obviously you're kind of messing with, like, brain rehabilitation, brain support. You're also messing with some of your, like, memory systems, because you convert a lot of short-term to long-term. But you're also messing with your cortisol system, so your whole adrenaline system starts getting thrown off. Also your circadian rhythm becomes thrown off. And usually once you throw off your circadian rhythm and your cortisol, then it makes it really hard to manage your blood sugar throughout the day. So you can have these blood sugar fluctuations. And then the other thing that I guess usually everything is kind of a cascade from there. So, you know, you start kind of, you can see changes in hormones and changes in mood and changes in neurotransmitters, you know, and things like that. So you kind of start seeing this downstream effect. And these are kind of people who don't, that have insomnia, I mean, they know, they're probably, like, shaking their head like, yep, you know, but you can literally have a lot of things that go wrong when you don't sleep.
So some of the things that, you know, Scott sent us this, or sent me this graph anyway, he says, you know, memory issues, obviously you were just talking about that, mood changes. I've noticed too that when I don't get enough sleep, I'm incredibly moody. And is that just part of the brain not healing itself due to lack of sleep?
Yeah, you're definitely going to get a brain component to that. But also, you know, all your brain chemistry, the chemicals like serotonin and dopamine and all of those, they definitely become altered, you know, and you just don't get, yes, it's all yes.
It is. I mean, it looks like
everybody experiences that.
You know, as I'm looking at this graph, it's like everything is determined by the amount of sleep you either get or don't get. I mean, even weight gain, you know, we're always teasing you and I. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't believe we haven't brought up bacon yet. We're like, you know, 19 minutes into this thing. And, but, you know, weight gain is something, you know, you, granted, diet and exercise, but also I really believe you're not going to lose any weight if you're heavy, if you don't get the proper amount of sleep.
Absolutely. Yeah. And a lot of that goes back down to your stress response, because if you don't get enough sleep, your body is stressed. And if you're chronically stressed day after day after day after day, then you see all the results of a chronic stress response: aching joints, weight gain, inflammation, puffy, you know, high blood pressure, mood changes. You know, you start seeing it's just a stress. And I think the general population forgets that stress is stress is stress, whether, you know, you have, you know, a relationship that's not great, a job that's not great, you're not sleeping great, you're overtraining. I mean, that's a stress. I mean, especially in Colorado, everybody runs and runs and runs, and they think it's healthy, but that's also a stress response. You know, being on your computer creates a stress response, you know, and getting a lack of sleep is a stress response. And so if you say, well, what does stress do to your body? Well, the list is long. It's longer than we even have time to talk all week long, you know, so that's why sleep is so important, because it's a chronic stress.
It's a chronic stress. Wouldn't you say then that the lack of sleep, the increased stress can just totally detrimentally affect our lives, our relationships, our work, just everything that we're trying to get done and do during the day?
100%. In our office, whenever we have people that have sleep issues, we'll even say in the office quite a bit, that is the first thing we got to do. We got to get them to sleep, because if we don't get them to sleep, we're probably not going to get all these other things working better. So that always becomes our initial goal, like right out of the gate, right here, try this, do this, because we got to get you to sleep. Because if you have, let's say, you know, we talked about hormones last time I talked to you, you know, we can have somebody come in with like hormonal issues and menopause and hot flashes, but if they're not going to sleep, well, I'm not going to get that any better.
You know, that's so really
that
good
becomes
to know.
The first thing.
That's really good to know. Now, and once again, this is Your Health Matters with Dr. Shane Stebman with Integrated Health Systems, and you can find him by going to integratedhealthdenver.com. Now, Doc, I was probably 17, 18 years ago or so, I was diagnosed with sleep apnea. And so then I got a air machine, you know, one of those CPAP machines. And do you know much about sleep apnea? What causes that? And because there were times, you know, before I had this machine that I'd be standing somewhere and just fall asleep. It was weird.
Yeah, there's different types. There's a lot of times you hear like central sleep apnea and obstructive sleep apnea. So you can have like an example of obstructive sleep apnea would be, you know, maybe somebody that's snoring a lot because your palate. So if you ever looked in the mirror and opened up your mouth and said, ah, that part that rises, that's your palate. Well, some people, if they look in the mirror, they'll realize that their palate doesn't raise the way they're supposed to. And so if you're sleeping, you know, in the middle of the night and your palate is just kind of hanging lower than it should because those muscles are kind of weak, then you have obstruction. So you see this snoring that takes place.
And actually, you hear the snoring that takes place. That's really
you
loud.
You hear the snoring that takes
Holy
place,
cow.
And then you don't get as much oxygen as you should. And that's kind of what you hear with, like, obstructive. And then with central sleep apnea, a lot of times in the office, we're looking at some of your neurological pieces. So your brainstem actually has respiratory centers that are in the brainstem. And then the upper part of the brainstem has your kind of fight or flight response. So a lot of times, if there could be a neurological imbalance, then what happens is your breathing gets slower and slower and slower, and then you start to build up the carbon dioxide because you're not blowing it off. You're just kind of breathing some oxygen slowly and slowly, and then people kind of go to a point where they stop breathing for a second, and that carbon dioxide then activates your fight or flight. So that's when people like kind of they go that they kind of like, yeah. It's almost like this weird startle response your brain's like, wake up, wake up, wake up. And so it turns you back on, and then people are like, and then they start breathing again until that brainstem starts to fatigue. And so that's kind of what we look at a lot with central sleep apnea. And then with obstructive, I actually think a lot of that's also neurologically based because your brainstem also controls your palate. So we tend to look at, you know, sleep apnea from a neuro component. And then also we look at it from like a nutritional, you know, if you're overweight and you got a lot of weight on your chest and belly, that can really kind of, you know, cause some obstruction and really getting some good oxygen in. So we look at a lot of like your weight management, nutritional pieces, neurological, and also stress. You know, as I think my wife says, whenever I'm stressed, I storm more. So, you know, you got to work on the stress response too.
Yeah, the stress, you know, a lot of just about everything comes back to stress, doesn't it?
It really does.
The lack of sleep can cause stress. Stress can cause the lack of sleep. Stress is really one of those things that we really need to manage. But I want to go off on one more rabbit trail. We only got a couple minutes left, and that is stimulants, energy drinks, caffeine, these kinds of things. If you're feeling tired, you give yourself a boost. What are you really doing to your system when you do that?
Kind of to make it really simple, you're kind of taking the whip and you're just whipping your adrenals. You know, it's kind of like, I imagine like, you know, being on a, you know, kind of a horse and buggy, you know, where you're like, go, go, go. Yeah. And you just kind of like, you kind of whip the horse and make him go faster. That's kind of what you're doing to your adrenal glands. You're kind of just driving that adrenaline system and pushing, they call it catecholamines. And you're really just hammering that system, even though it's kind of fatigued. And you're saying, I know you're fatigued, but you got to keep working. So it's kind of what you're doing to that system in a very simplistic term. And that's why it's good short term, but it's not really a good long term fix.
Got it. Okay, so Doc, and once again, this is Dr. Shane Steadman with Integrated Health Systems. Doc, if somebody's having sleep issues, is this something you can help them out with? Is this something they can call you up and say, hey, Doc, what can we do about this?
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, the CPAP machines are great because they can give you some oxygen. And there's some people that you need oxygen. It's so incredibly important. We can have a whole conversation on just oxygen. But you got to have oxygen. But the thing is then trying to figure out, okay, why is this coming? Or why is this happening? You know, if it is central sleep apnea, maybe there's some neurological exercises. There's some therapies that we can do, have people try things at home. You know, if it's weight, then like you got to get your weight down and you got to get your health better, you know. And if it's stress, we can work on some of the stress components and we can work on some of the cortisol. And that's why we have counselors in the office, you know, to help to work on those stress management pieces too. So there's definitely things that we can do for patients.
And once again, if they want to learn more about you or get a hold of you, go to integratedhealthdenver.com, or you can give Dr. Shane Steadman a call at 303-781-5617. Doc, as always, this has been great.
Thanks, Dan. It was great talking
with
you.
All right. Good talking to you, too. Thanks, Doc. Okay, up next is Mark Griffith, The Mark Griffith Show, followed by Dr. Thorne, and then Rush to Reasons at 3 with me and John Rush. You've been listening to Your Health Matters. I'm Dan Muir. Keep it tuned right here to KLZ 560.
Call Integrated Health Systems now for a free consultation. 303-781-5617. That's 303-781-5617. To book your consultation online, visit integratedhealthdenver.com. Thank you for listening to Your Health Matters. Be sure to join Dr. Shane Steadman live every Monday at 12:30 p.m. on KLZ 560.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.